Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, and we'll continue our study in this very short little parable. But you know that even when the Lord only utters a few words, he says much. Men oftentimes utter hundreds of words and say nothing. Not so the Lord. Every word from God's mouth is packed full of truth and wisdom and knowledge and benefits us greatly when we study what it is God has to say. Now, we started to look at the point, what was it the Father wished his sons to do? Verse 28 of chapter 21 says, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he came to the second, it says in verse 30, and said the same. He said likewise. What is God's will for each one of us? Go work in my vineyard. Do you ever think about God's will? Do you ever think about what it is God wants you to do? Here you are scurrying about on earth, maybe not a thought about what God wants you to do, and therefore not doing what God wants you to do. And all the time the Lord's looking on you, saying, I would that they would obey me and fulfill my will. Well, we considered how he wanted his sons to go and work in the vineyard, and we looked at this place called God's vineyard. We considered how that everywhere a man starts a vineyard, he has picked the most fertile soil on his land in order to grow the vine. Fertile, a place that catches the sun, because vines need the sunshine. And it's also sheltered from the winds, etc. So we looked at that on Tuesday. Now we're going to continue on that same basic subject, and we'll notice that God's vineyard is his church, and it is there we are called to work. God's vineyard in this world is his church. The vines are his people. The vines are his people. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 15 said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, and ye are the branches. Ye are the branches. If you're saved today, you're a branch of the true vine. And it's in that vineyard that you and I are called upon to labor and serve the Lord. Now, the picture of the church as a vineyard is a very familiar picture in the Scriptures. Back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 5, you'll find that picture very clearly set forth. Israel, the people of God, church in the Old Testament, is likened unto a vineyard. A vineyard that God very carefully planted, cared for, and looked after. And then, as I say, in John chapter 15, there is the same image used of the church in the New Testament times. And it's in this vineyard we're called upon to labor. You know, boys and girls, it's a truth that has long been abandoned by men, but man was created to work. And I would say that a man who doesn't work is not a happy man. There's something missing in his life, because he was created to work. When God created Adam, he placed him in a garden to look after, to till it, to keep it. Agriculture is the most basic of all labors, and it's a labor that we can trace right back to the beginning of time. Man was intended by God to work and to labor. And whenever men are not working, trouble. I was thinking, even as I came down to the assembly this morning, of a verse in Ezekiel, the chapter 16, where God gives us a summary of just what was wrong with the city of Sodom, that city that fell into the most awful wickedness and which brought upon itself the mighty judgment of God. It says, verse 49 of Ezekiel chapter 16, and behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. They didn't have much work. There was an abundance of idleness. And there's an old saying, and it's a true one, it's based upon the Bible, that the devil will find evil for idle hands to do. There's no doubt about it. When someone is not focused and occupied with doing what is right, the devil will come and give them something to do. And man, being man, he's made to do something. And if he's not doing right, he very easily falls into doing wrong. Now, boys and girls, we live in a day of idleness. In fact, we live in a most peculiar and strange day in that we live in a day in which people are paid to be idle. Paid to be idle. People are paid to be idle. People are paid to do nothing. And I think it's true today that there are homes, and this is the third generation within that home, that is doing nothing. Their grandfather did nothing and was paid. Their father did nothing and was paid. And now they're doing the same. And they're idle. And I tell you this, boys and girls, without real fear of being contradicted, where there is such a setup, you will not find righteousness. You will not find holiness. But rather, you will find that which is contrary to God. God would have men and women to work. To work. That's God's purpose and God's will. And where there is an idleness, I'm inclined to think that there is sin. Go work today in my vineyard, was the command of this father to his sons. Now, what is the work that God calls us to do in this vineyard? Well, without going into all the different classes and divisions of labor that is to be found in the Church of Jesus Christ, I mean, you have preachers, you have missionaries, but as well as that, you have Christians engaged in all sorts of activities that are centered upon doing the will of God. Sunday school teachers, youth teachers, Christian school teachers, but as well as that, there are Christians involved in the work of God, and they don't hold what we might consider to be regular Christian workers' roles or offices, but rather they care. They care for Christians. They look after and look out for Christians. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 25. Now, that's only two or three pages over from where it is we're studying. Matthew chapter 25, and beginning at the verse 34, you have a picture painted for us of what will happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. Verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Here's the Savior speaking to his people at his coming again. And he's inviting them and welcoming them into his glorious kingdom. And he says to them in verse 35, "I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered, etc.?" Now, you and I have not seen the Lord Jesus. It was the privilege of Mary, Magdalene, and other women in the day when the Savior was on the earth to minister unto him. When he was hungry, they certainly fed him. And when he was weary, I'm sure they did everything they could to refresh him. And we know of Mary anointing the Savior and washing his feet with her tears. And there were many acts of such kindness, but we have never seen the Savior. We have not been able to do that. So it's little wonder that you will find on that day when all the redeemed are gathered before the Lord, there will be those that, "Lord, when did we ever do those things for you?" And the answer that the Savior will give on that day in verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, Insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Do you see the point? To help a Christian. To comfort, encourage a Christian. To share with them the burden and the grief that they're encountering is counted by the Lord a labor for him. A kindness bestowed on him. If you do it for the least of my brethren, you've done it for me. You've done it for me. This is what it means to labor in the Lord's vineyard. It's not just the preachers, the missionaries, the teachers, etc., 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 the elders, the deacons. No, it's every individual member of the church who acts with kindness and mercy and love and compassion toward another Christian. They're laboring. They're laboring in the vineyard. There's a verse in Galatians, the chapter 6 and the verse 2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Some Christians live to add burdens to other Christians. They talk about them. They criticize them. They snigger and mock at them. And so distress that other Christian, and vex and hurt that other Christian, and add to their burdens. That's not fulfilling the law of God. So bear ye one another's burdens, says the Savior, and so fulfill the law of God. That's the law of God for you and for me, bearing one another's burdens. So this is what it is to labor in the vineyard of God. Now, the vineyard is a place of much labor. When I was out in Canada recently, it was just the beginning of spring out there, and already work had begun in the vineyards. I could see that the rows of vines, the grass, the weeds that had sprung up over the winter time, the debris, had all been gathered up, and the ground was clean. But then I saw, too, that there were workers in the vineyards, going down the various aisles that's in the vineyards, examining the vines. Now, I don't know what they were doing, but they were working. Perhaps they were making sure all the little branches of the vine were secured and tied to the frame. Because, you know, the vine is such a weak and pathetic little shrub that if you didn't tie it up, it would just flop to the ground. It has to be supported. Oh, boys and girls, what a picture the vine is of a Christian. Left to ourselves, we'd be like the vine. We'd just flop to the ground. And that would bring all sorts of trouble and misery and shame to us. The vine has to be nurtured and cared for and protected and helped. And those men that I saw, maybe there were some women, because it was quite cold and they were all muffled up, and I don't know whether it was a man or was a woman that I was looking upon, but there were workers, and they were beginning the year's activities. And from now right through to the harvest, they'll be in there working. There's always something to do in the vineyard. And even when the vines are harvested, in the autumn time, they'll still be working, getting them ready for the next year of growth. There's always work in the vineyard. Of course, it's like that on any farm. You don't find a farmer saying, "Well, I've finished for the year and I'll not have to come back near the farm until 2-3 months from now." No, it's always there. There's always something to do. There's always something to do in God's vineyard. It's a place of much labor. God has a lot of work for us to do. You find the Lord Jesus in one place complaining, as it were. "The fields are white under harvest. The laborers are few. There's much work, and yet there's few to do it." And boys and girls are still the same. There's much work to be done, and yet there's few to do it. As I look back on over 50 years of activities in the cause of God, I can tell you this, that in every congregation, in every congregation, no matter how big a congregation it is, you could count on the fingers of one hand, or maybe you'd need two hands, those who work. And the rest just come on a Sunday and go home again. And they don't really engage in any activities or do anything other than that activity to come. And then coming on the Lord's Day, to be quite honest, we're not really doing any work. We're coming to be fed, we're coming to be refreshed, we're coming to be encouraged, and off they go again. And they leave the praying, the work around the church, the outreach, they leave that to others, and they do not. That's not good. God would have us work in His vineyard, and there's a lot of work to be done, boys and girls. It's a place of much labour. I think I have time just to say one other thing, and that is those who engage in this labour, those who are part of the workforce in God's vineyard, are privileged. They're privileged, for they labour amongst the most glorious company. Do you know who heads that company up? God Himself. God labours in His own vineyard. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the verse 9 says, "For we are labourers together with God." With God. Those who never really get involved in the work of God forego the privilege of working in the company of God. As many people don't know and haven't seen God work, because they don't go to where it is God works. Oh, boys and girls, whatever your life holds for you, make sure you're active in the vineyard of God. You'll find God there. You'll find Him there. And more than that, as well as the glorious presence of God, will we not be surrounded by the most wonderful human being? Those who have gone before: Adam, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the prophets, the apostles. And 10 million times 10 million others have served the Lord and been part of that workforce. It's a glorious privilege to be numbered amongst such a people, to be numbered amongst such a people, to walk in the footsteps of those who have gone before. The great reformers, the great revival preachers like Whitfield, Wesley, and hundreds of others. That's where you find yourself when you obey God and go work in His vineyard. We can say, in a wonderful sense, I have stood where Abraham stood. I've rubbed shoulders with him. I'm engaged in the same work as he was engaged in. I'm doing what he did. And all the other great men and women. And women. What wonderful women we meet in the Bible. What wonderful women. The mother of Samuel, Ruth, Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and so many others who have worked. Paul, when he wrote his letter to the Romans, he pays particular homage to a woman. The last chapter of Romans, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also." Phoebe. How many have read about Phoebe? How many have heard Paul speak glowingly? And remember, Paul was but writing down what the Holy Ghost told him to write down. So we could say, how many have read of what God the Holy Ghost has said about this woman, Phoebe? Billions have heard the name Phoebe over the last 2,000 years. And yet there are men in this world that this world admires, that this world magnifies, and their name will be forgotten in a generation. In a generation. But here's Phoebe. She mightn't have been thought much of by many, and I'm sure she wasn't thought of in any exalted way by her neighbours who were not Christians. But God thought of Phoebe, that He has written her up in the Bible. And not just Phoebe. We could spend a long time going through the Bible and noting the people God has mentioned. I said to you about the little boy who gave what food he had to the Lord Jesus. We don't know his name, but he's mentioned. And billions have read about him. The little girl taking away a slave to Syria. Billions have read about her. Oh, boys and girls, there's a work for you to do in God's vineyard. Go today, labor in my vineyard. May you give consideration to this and ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, I can do for you? What is it I can do for you? Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you will write this thy word upon hearts. Indeed, challenge all of us, adult and young. O God, help us to be active in the vineyard to the glory of God. Bless the school. Take care of it today. Meet its every need. Comfort any hearts that are distressed and need that comfort. And strengthen all by thy grace. Answer prayer for us now in Jesus' name. Amen.